The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to another Mission Minded, the award-winning Mission Minded. By the way, did you see Michael Coleman of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank? Did you see where the American Music Awards now have a podcast section? They're actually they just added, and they're saying that this could be something that maybe the Grammys pulls up on. They're now having the best podcast section of their show. Which a lot of people think is kind of funny, but there's millions and millions and millions of podcasts, so we're part of that. So I know that recently, I think I talked to you several months ago, I actually turned in one of your podcasts for a local award here. They have things called Addies, which are advertising awards. And we put it in for a podcast, and we were chosen out of, I don't know, like 3,000 different podcasts. So you were top five. You didn't win, but you were last of the five podcasts, which is, I mean, that's
very nice.
That's big time stuff. And the one time I won an Addy Award back in 1989 or something like that, I didn't even know that I was up for the award. Someone had turned in a piece of production work that I had done. So you never know how that stuff's going to happen. And when that stuff goes, it takes off. So kudos to you and all the hard work you do. And there's a lot of different things out there that people can certainly listen to. And we greatly appreciate everyone tuning in to
Mission Minded. Absolutely.
We also do a show called Bite by Bite, which we'll do right after this one. You can hear on our network of radio stations here on Tony Curry Radio. A couple things I wanted to get into and just to fill people in. We did not speak at all. I had lunch with you earlier this week, and you have not spoken about what we're going to talk about on the show today. So I'm going to fly by the seat of our pants, but I had a couple things I wanted to ask you, not only as a co-host in Mission Minded, but also as a brother in arms. Final Destination. Do you know about the movie? You know about it's the sixth installment?
I have seen a couple.
You have seen a couple. Okay.
Yeah, but it seemed like it was been 20 years ago that I saw Final Destination. I don't know when the first one came out.
Yeah, hard to turn the TV on, not see a commercial for it. There's some actual scenes that actually look pretty funny, quite frankly. I know it's supposed to be a gory, nasty movie. I have always hated movies like this. I don't see the purpose in movies like this. I took my son to Pleasant Grove after the tornadoes back in 2011, 2012, when we had those bad tornadoes. And at the time, he was about 6 or 7 years of age, and we were walking through the destruction of the neighborhood, and he had a little bit of a welt in his eye. And I said, "Are you okay?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I feel really weird." And I said, "How do you feel?" He goes, I'm sick to my stomach. I feel like I got to get sick, but I'm real excited. And I said, that's exactly how you should probably feel. That's the reason why there could be a small little fender bender on the side of the road and we have log jams, because people want to see the wreck. We want to see the train wreck. It's not something we normally see. And sometimes I can actually say, if you're waiting in traffic for an hour and a half, you get up and it's just a car parked on the side of the road. You're like, oh man, no wreck. There's no ambulance. There's no one getting hurt. I mean, come on, And so I understand the allure of why people want to see something, that is just absolutely gory and nasty and disgusting. Another part of me says there's parts of our brain and parts of our heart that we don't need to open. We don't need to investigate. And for me, I'll go even as far as and say it's somewhat satanic. Are movies like this, and we already know that we've done a lot of research on shooting video games, that just because if you play a lot of shooting games, combat war games, that doesn't mean you're going to go out and kill a bunch of people. But are movies like this good or bad or indifferent? What's your thoughts on that as a Christian man?
Oh, wow. You did throw me for a loop today. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, it doesn't mean I don't have thoughts. I have thoughts on everything, whether dumb or not. Yeah. Well, it takes me back when you were talking about that. There was back in the day, and I want to say it was back when I was in high school. It may have been as an early adult. was the very first time a movie came out called Faces of Death.
Yes. Faces of Death.
You remember that?
Yes. And that was, it was horrible. I mean,
we couldn't get our hands on it. It was like trying to get an X-rated movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it just wasn't available. And especially in South Alabama.
Tell people what it was about.
Yeah. So it was not supposed to be any of it staged. I think it later came out that maybe some of it was a little bit, but it was supposed to be video recordings of people facing real death. Mm-hmm. And the truth, and when you hear about it, you know, most of us had not seen death, at least up close. You know, you had a relative die. You may have had a parent die, but you didn't get to see the process of going from a state of life into a passing away.
True.
And there is something very fascinating. It's you know, as they say, macabre in one sense, but there's something fascinating about it. Right now, I was watching the Darwin Awards. Is a page on Facebook, I believe, and it shows people doing really stupid stuff, climbing up on power lines and then getting electrocuted to death. And I watched it for so long because, again, I find it just that whole process is fascinating on one level, but then it leaves you like, after a while, I said, I'm just going to stop following this because I'm seeing too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I'm no different than everybody else, rubbernecking. I've seen people lay it on the side of the road with sheets over them, just on and on and on. I guess because the events are so rare in our life, it's lots of times we're just fascinated for a lot of reasons. But, you know, I've kind of been all over the place throughout my life. Initially, I thought, well, maybe there's some truth to the idea of people watching violence and video games. But then as I grew up, you know, I can watch something. I could even play a video game, and I didn't have any problem playing a video game with violence and then disconnecting from it. And yep. Then saying, you know,
you're in your 50s too.
Well, I'm saying back in the day when I was younger, but there are people who can't do that, who, because of either their current state of mental health, the environment, whatever it is, it does seem to cause them to get lost in that world or want to recreate that world. I have trouble blaming the movie. I have trouble blaming the industry completely. Because they show it to a lot of people who obviously go to those kind of movies, enjoy it, leave, and their life doesn't change at all. So should a few kind of control the majority? Now, this is just kind of an American, I have the right to watch what I want to, sure, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I will tell you, from a spiritual perspective, I think there's all sorts of ways that Satan uses very small windows of opportunity to infiltrate our lives or infiltrate our perspective. The most fascinating movie came out about 2 years ago called Nefarious. And it was done in 11 days. But the people who wrote it, it was a Christian movie, but you couldn't tell it was a Christian movie. A lot of churches wouldn't even play it because they saw the cover of the video. It's kind of a very dark, but it's about a prisoner who's dealing with a man and he's demon possessed. It has the most fascinating dialogue. But the reason I'm bringing that up is the psychiatrist is supposed to be determining whether this guy is eligible for the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he's supposed to be put to death that night. So the psychiatrist is coming in, doesn't want to send him to death, wants to say he's crazy. And they sit there for the vast majority of the movie. Just there's this dialogue back and forth, and it's just so well done. And one of the things he does, he challenges the demon. He goes, okay, if you're a demon, infiltrate my body. And And the demon speaking to the man said, well, it doesn't quite work that way. There's rules and we have to be invited in. And he goes, okay, I'm inviting you in. So the guy just closes his head, closes his eyes, and nothing happens for about 10 or 15 seconds. And the guy goes, see, I'm still the same person. Everything's fine. And what the guy says is, hey, I got what I wanted. In other words, he wasn't looking in 15 seconds to overtake his whole body. The idea is I got my step into the door.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because you opened up that door. Then later on in the movie, he starts hearing that voice of, and so it's very illustrative of what we're talking about, that things like that, things that we encounter may be fascinating to us. Lots of times just saying something's off limits, things like a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
People say, oh yeah, Ouija board's fun. We pulled out a Ouija board. I mean, parents bought us that kind of yep. stuff, but nothing could be more cultish. When you hear of people who have genuinely come out of Satanism, who have come out of that darkness of that realm and become believers, they tell you all the time the spiritual realm and how they take advantage of simple, like things like a Ouija board, that's opening up because you're crying out to the spirits and you're inviting them. And when you open yourself up to that, we don't have the ability to say, oh, I only want the good spirits.
Yeah. Mm.
You open yourself up to the spiritual realm like that through occultish practices. And that's very, very, very dangerous. So I'm saying all of that to say, I'm not going to watch a video game. Few would watch a video game of violence and turn and go out and kill somebody. But what it can do, it can open up a window to the soul, sort of, so to speak, and somebody get their foot in the door. And
yeah,
depending on what happens later on.
Oh, WWJD. We always say, what would Jesus do? I always say to myself when I see something like this and I'm trying to question, I always think, what would Jesus do? I go, how is the devil feeling? And I can't help but think that when a movie like this comes out, the devil's feeling pretty good about himself. Because the devil is about horror, about blood, about death, about circumstances sometimes beyond our control. And it's titillating, it's exciting, it's a part of us that we don't normally see. And so I get that part. I also understand it's a rated R movie, and that I think it's rated R. I may be wrong.
I think most of them are.
Yeah. You got to be 17. You got to be somewhat mature to actually go into a movie.
My 13. I don't even know if the movies check ID anymore, do they?
No. My 13-year-old daughter, I could see where younger people would probably get off on this, and it kind of makes me sick to my stomach. And so, yeah, there is a part of me that understands the allure to it. I understand some people will go see every scary movie in the world just because it's part of, particularly around the Halloween months. I get that. Yeah. I just think it's a really slippery slope. I think because I remember a friend of mine, remember when beheadings, when people started doing beheadings, like, I don't know where it's Syria or Libya or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was actually some videos of some beheadings on the internet. And I walked in one of my friend's offices and he was watching one. And I wanted to see it. I wanted to see it from the standpoint of, I knew it was real. I was hoping it would change the way I felt about this particular terrorist group, but it didn't. And I still live with the sound. I mean, I could still hear it.
Oh yeah,
it traumatized me to know that it was, there's one thing about doing a movie where it's not real. There's another thing where on the faces of death, where there's actually life, being taken on film, and us enjoying and paying to see that. I think that's sick. I think there's just a part of that that's really sick. Again, if you want to use computer animation and you want to do something like that, it's like, okay, because God gave us this life and here we are making money and doing a movie about us taking away that gift that he has given us. Correct. It's like giving someone a puppy and then I'm paying you $20 to watch you torture it. It just doesn't make sense to me. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I know some people are like, oh, what's the big deal? And I think, you know, as you get older, you start looking at life a little differently. We're all more, death is knocking on our door. And certainly when you're in the 20s and 30s, you're invincible and nothing's going to bother you. And then when you get to be our age, you start looking at things and, you know, your days are numbered. Sure. And life means something a little different. I don't know if I'm going to waste enough time going to a movie theater. And I know this thing's going to probably make $100 million this first weekend. And it's fine. And again, some of the funny parts are because, I mean, the idea of someone cutting a glass and then drinking glass and stepping on a lawnmower and all this stuff is almost hilarious. But I get it. Yeah, we've kind of dealt with that in rock and roll. You know, there was a song called Suicide Solution that Ozzy Osbourne had. And a lot of people said that the band was cult. Black Sabbath was cult, and that was making people. And I guess if you want to believe in that and you want to take your own life over the lyrics of a particular song, it's us. But I also have learned through our freedom in this country. We're not real smart. We saw that during COVID. We don't do the smartest things because we have so much freedom, and sometimes the freedom can be the death of us. So sometimes if we're told, hey, listen, you can't watch that. I know, you know, you go to China and they have very strict rules on what children, how long they can stay on video games, what they can watch, and they shelter their children. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing for their culture, but obviously it's a little different here.
Yeah, I remember back in the 80s where a lot of preachers back then were hitting on rock and roll music. And, you know, you had the stereotypical metalhead in his room with his T-shirt and playing air guitar. Mm-hmm. But again, that goes back to a guy who typically was living in almost like a goth-like, you know, just very dark existence, playing a lot. And I didn't mean everybody who liked heavy metal was like that, but I'm just saying you see that where they would just spend hours just listening to it. So their mental health, they weren't out socializing. They weren't playing sports. They weren't doing group activities. They didn't have a lot of friends they were hanging out in the mall with. So you can get somebody like that and they could listen to a song like that over and over and over. And it could have an effect where they start thinking, you know, I'm really down today and I'm listening to the words of this song, you know, maybe suicide. So I don't want to act like that music and television is not influential. It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, I also remember.
And I use that example too. Music is so much different because movies, you're gonna have to watch for an hour and a half or 2 hours. There can be some times where, man, I hear a slow song or something. I cannot listen to it. I can't. I mean, it affects me that much where like I'm coming out of a funk or something. And I'm like, that's the last thing I need to do is hear Bread right now. You know, I have the choice to turn it off. So, and in a good way too, there are a lot of times, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but there's a lot of times where you'd be driving down the road and all of a sudden you hear something you haven't heard in a while, all of a sudden it puts you in a different mood. And it affects 100%. It affects you almost immediately in a 2 or 3 minute period.
Right. It can be good or bad. So, depending on what emotion that song is tied to.
Yeah.
No, but I just remember specifically the Eagles, Hotel California. And I heard one of them later. I mean, there's been all sorts of ideas about what that's about. And one of them explained, and it makes sense if you look at it, is talking about the drug culture and, you know, and you see things like the mirrors on the ceiling, pink champagne on ice. Mm-hmm. They talk about trying to kill, stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't kill the beast. Yep. And you see them on glass doing lines of cocaine. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, he goes, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. That's talking about that culture addiction. And I mean, the drug addiction, like, of course, you check out. I mean, it fits it all very nice.
Yeah.
Like you're invited in. It's so warm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, preachers in the 80s and I think even early 90s were saying, try to tie that song into the Antichrist, the beast. And then they turned them into a bunch of Satan worshipers. Everybody on the Eagles had made a pact with Satan. And then they go out and they preach that. As if it were the truth. Now, and people say, well, better safe than sorry. But what that does is when you find out how wrong they are, I mean, because you can work people up into a frenzy about something. And and you can get them to rage against the machine on whatever the issue is. But to me, you lose such credibility by trying to dogmatically say this is for sure something, and when it's not, you're trying to make a point, but you're misusing things like that. So I think that's what happened, was they became so dogmatic, using every video to explain every death or every child suicide. Oh, it's this, because we always have to find something to blame. And the reality is the world and people, and the world's complex, people are complex, we're all broken, the world's broken, we're broken. And when all of that is put together, you're going to have some terrible outcomes in life. Mm-hmm. And it's so difficult to point to one thing that's the problem. You know, there are several factors, but I don't think any single factor out there is pointing to it. But again, I'm trying to present both sides here, but just understand that doesn't mean that it's safe to go and expose yourself, because it can.
And all it takes is one, right? I mean, you know,
it can give you a memory you won't forget the rest of your life.
Yeah. You play Suicide Solution in front of 112-year-olds who just got off Instagram. Who knows what you're going to catch? You know, you're throwing out stuff, a bologna sandwich into a you know,
stuff's popping up in my head all the having this question. So I'll give you a good example. My dad was a motorcycle enthusiast for a while, and he and I were driving to see his brother in Huntsville. This was in the early 70s. So I think 72, I think I was 6 years old, maybe 73. And there was a movie that came out called The Legend of Boggy Creek. And which was not, it was a Bigfoot movie.
Yeah.
We go to the theater, he says, let's spend the night in Decatur. And then we'll get up the next day. And he's like, hey, you want to go see this? And he's like, yeah. Of course, I'm just with my dad. I'm not going to do whatever my dad wants to do anyway. That movie scared me so bad as a six-year-old that 4 years later, I was living, my mom and dad had divorced. We had moved to Montgomery. I was living over there in Forest Hills. And our backyard butted up to a big drainage ditch. And then it was woods. We had a small little, you know, brick home. But I wouldn't cut. That was like, I wouldn't get within 10 feet of that fence, and I'd leave it uncut. And I was making my mother and my sister, I was in the fourth grade by then. And they couldn't figure it out. And I finally confessed many years after that I was so traumatized.
Wow.
That feeling would come back. I wouldn't even cut grass that was back by a drainage ditch.
How about that?
Just because I could see that. So that's the kind of effect movies can have. A spaghetti. I was a young child, but I mean, it devastated me. Now, I've always been fascinated with Bigfoot things.
Me too. And it's funny because I don't watch a lot of movies. I see maybe a movie a year. And when I do see a movie, it affects me, man. I saw Dark Knight Rising, the Batman movie, in a theater, and I'm not traumatized, but I was like, wow, it just really affected me, because it just made me think the ideas that it's putting in other people's heads. And as a freedom, we get to do that. And it's all protected by our speech. And it's like, there's so many loosey goosey, weird people out there that I'm like, I don't want the wrong person to see this. You were talking about songs when I was a good Catholic boy, when I'm still, I guess I'm a Catholic man now, but I almost became a priest when I was 18, but I was, we were doing these search weekends and stuff. And so we had a whole workshop about John Cougar Mellencamp's song Hurt So Good, that it was a satanic song, that it was demoralizing sex, and that it talked about sex in a painful way, and it depicted rape. And I mean, I was you know, I'm 14 years old, and I'm already playing this song on the radio, man. I'm already working in radio, and I'm playing this song, and I was like, come on. I mean, are we really going to do this? You know, and but I remember that vividly.
Well, it was on the other side. You have progressive groups. I remember Holly Dunn came out with a song called Daddy's Hands. And it was a sweet song about my daddy's hands could be hard when I had done wrong, hard as steel when I'd done wrong, but they were soft when I was crying. And just talking about that whole dynamic, and then, you know, oh, that's abuse of a child.
Yeah.
And then, you know, about no, doesn't she do one about no doesn't mean no. And oh, it was a sweet song, but oh, then that was about rape culture. So people will find anything and read into it if it fits their narrative and use it in the world. I guess it's an age old trick, but people on the left and the right are both guilty of
it. Does the P. Diddy thing surprise you?
Not at all. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think we're ever going to fully get all the...
Do you understand how it could get to that level?
Debauchery.
Yeah, a lot of people are involved. Like, I don't see how he could... I've seen it. I mean, I totally get it. I mean, I'm not saying what he did is right by any stretch, period.
Yeah, yeah.
And even the stuff he's admitting he had done wrong is disgusting. I mean, this is the difference.
But having people urinate...
Oh,
in
man.
Her mouth and all that kind of just
no,
it, so and disgusting.
It's, yeah,
but it shows you what money and power and people's desire that people who thought that Diddy could help them or help their child, Justin Bieber being turned over to that child predator and Usher as young teenagers and left in the care of them and abused like they were, it is amazing. The trauma, and you look at Justin Bieber today, you can see, I mean, they talk about he's almost non-functioning in a lot of ways. And he looks like stays on drugs. I mean, he's looks like a meth addict, like his face mm-hmm. has gotten very, very thin. But they talk about how he cries all the time, just about those childhood. And you go back and look at the songs and you can see little snippets of it in the music. And, but that's what evil, and when you buy into that and you embrace that and you do anything for money or for fame, that's where it leads you.
Yep, you're right. And I can't help but think, I know a lot of people go to bed every night praying that they're going to get rich, or that I hope this business deal goes well so I can have extra money, this, that, and the other. And I've got too many friends of mine that are wealthy beyond their means that aren't any happier than I'll ever be. And
yeah.
I'm like, and it's one less thing they got to worry about. But like you said, when you have one less thing to worry about, you'll fill that void with something.
That's right.
And sometimes it makes it even worse. Hey, before we go, I want people to start thinking about next week. Next week, I wanted to get into something today, but I think it's fascinating talk. And that's what we talk about. We talk about business and all kinds of things here with you. And I love the brotherhood we have that we can talk about things like this. But next week, there's been so many things cut. You and I had lunch earlier this week. It wasn't a business meeting. You and I just were breaking bread and we were talking a little business, and come to find out that you've spoken about it here on Mission Minded, that you've had some major cuts with your organization. And because of that, it could directly affect and never reflect our relationship as brothers, but certainly from a business standpoint, it can. And so, you know, even from that standpoint, it's kind of funny. It's funny because, ever since Trump, whenever Trump takes office, my business just, something happens to my business. The last time he was president, I got fired, and I never been fired in my life. And now he's president, I'm not losing money again. So I'm not sure if this, I started to see the writing on the wall. But I want you to talk next week about, is it healthy? And what type of job should you be looking over your shoulder right now? A lot of people are looking over their backs, but if you're a government worker, you have to, because there's no way you're probably not going to be affected by something. You may get your job back. And a lot of people I know that have lost
on jobs. a federal employee. Yeah. Yeah, you might be a state employee. It might not be at risk.
But I do think a lot of people are we like to emulate success. And I think a lot of people are looking at this and going, maybe it's time for me to clean house a little bit.
I've heard of states coming up with their own DOGE.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And because there is a lot of waste out there and there's a lot of fraud. And, you know, we've had like 16 jars of apple butter on the back, and they're like, why do we have that apple butter? It's been back there for 4 years, and someone keeps saying they're going to sell it, and why is it taking up our inventory space? Why do we have that? You know, and maybe by going through that, we can actually help our personal lives, because I know I'm a purger. I'd much rather, I got everything I own in a box about this big. I don't like knickknacks. I don't like having a bunch of garbage. You know, once a year I go through everything and I'll end up throwing some more stuff out. Have I wished I'd held on to some things? Absolutely. But maybe give us a chance to kind of purge from a personal standpoint too. Maybe what does it tell us about business in our own personal lives and how clean cut, because obviously it's a market correction for me. You know, I mean, we get fat and happy and we start adding jobs and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden we pull back. And more likely, we're not cutting back to where we were before. So we're actually growing in that period. But the stock market never goes straight up. It goes like this. And so I'd be interested to see maybe this is a good time for a lot of us. Because the other thing, too, and I hate this, because for people that went to college for 8-10 years to become a scientist, and all of a sudden they have no jobs, I think it's going to work out for them. I'm just like, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know. But I'm like, just chill out. Wait a second. I've been around people where people are like, I can't believe she just did that. I'm like, hold on. You know how the deal is. Knee jerk, cutting everything to the bait. And in a couple hours, she's going to call back and apologize and say, no, you can go do this. I, you know who I'm talking about. So just chill out. It's going to be okay. And I think things will be all right. I think if you're a scientist, I don't think you're going to be looking for a job very long. It may be in France, but you'll be finding something. But just something kind of stick in your head for next week. So we'll get into that next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
All right, buddy.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.